The lesson today is from the book of Luke, chapter 6, verses 27 through 36. But I say to you, listen, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who abuse you. If anyone strikes you on the cheek, offer the other also, and from anyone who takes away your coat, do not withhold even your shirt. Give to everyone who begs from you. And if anyone takes away your goods, do not ask for them again. Do to others as you would have them do to you. If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. If you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners do the same. If you lend to those from whom you hope to receive, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners to receive as much again. But love your enemies, do good, and lend, expecting nothing in return. Your reward will be great, and your children, you will be children of the Most High. For he is kind to the ungrateful and the wicked. Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful. Here ends the reading.
When the Berlin Wall collapsed in 1989, there was absolutely no one in all of Germany that was more hated, despised, than the former East German governor, Erich Honecker. When the wall fell, he was stripped of all of his offices. The Communist Party no longer wanted anything to do with him. The villa that he and his wife had lived in was taken away from him, and he and his wife found themselves both destitute and homeless because the new government, the new regime, would not give them a place to stay. Enter German pastor Uwe Holmer, who ran a Christian relief center just north of Berlin. When he heard about the Honeckers, he thought, I have rooms, except that they're for people who are even more needy than the Honeckers. So instead, he and his wife and their family invited this despised former East German governor to live in their home. It was the craziest thing they could have done. Honecker's wife, Margot, had been in charge of the education system in East Germany for 26 years. And 8 of Pastor Holmer's 10 children were denied higher education opportunities because of her policies that discriminated against Christians. Yet here the Honeckers were living in this home. The Holmers prayed for them. They did good for them. They blessed them. They turned the other cheek. They treated them as family. They did to the Honeckers what they would have had them do for them. And Jesus said, pray for your enemies. Be kind to your enemies. Love your enemies. That day, as he taught that sermon on the plain, the continuation of last week's lesson, as he's sitting there with his disciples, and he's looking at the disciples and the crowd that's gathered, and he says to them, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who abuse you. That kind of love that Jesus was talking about is transformative love. It's love that has the power to change not only the victim, but the victimizer, to change those who are oppressed and the oppressors as well. And not only that, but if we love like Jesus loved, it really messes with people because they don't quite know what to do with that. So think about Jesus. He was crucified at the hands of those who hated him. He hung on a cross between 2 common thieves, both of whom were screaming and hollering and yelling, one of whom continued to scream and holler to mock him, the other of whom eventually stopped seeing with his eyes and started seeing with his heart. And he said to Jesus, Will you remember me when you come into your kingdom? And Jesus said to him, consider it done. Today, you will be with me in paradise. The people that put Jesus to death are the very people that he came to save. Scripture tells us that Jesus died as a ransom for many, that he came to pay the price for you and me. You and I, who were sinners in God's eyes, who were enemies in God's eyes, until Jesus took our sins and died on the cross. And because of that, you and I have become beloved sons and daughters of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And because Jesus loved us that much, because he was willing to take our sins and die for us, he made it possible for us to not only love him, but to love our enemies as well. People read this and they go, why in the name of time would anyone want to love like this? But I'll tell you, it's extravagant love. And when you think about what he's asking us to do, how he's asking us to love others, it's really and truly how we would like to be treated ourselves, right? To be loved, to be blessed, to be prayed for, to be tended to. Because when we love people the way Jesus loved people, when we love the way he's commanded us to love, what that does is it takes us out of where we normally would be. It lets us see what it looks like to be marginalized, to be on the fringes of things, to be oppressed, to be mistreated. It allows us to picture our lives that way and then to act accordingly to those who are. For years, Lance Armstrong was at the top of the heap in the cycling world. 7 times he won the Tour de France. It's unheard of, it's unprecedented, and often when he won under this cloud of suspicion that maybe, just maybe, he was cheating. But every time he was accused, he vehemently denied that he would ever cheat, until the day that it was proven that in fact he had cheated. He had been doping. And all of his titles were stripped away. And all of his endorsements said, nah, we don't want to be associated with you anymore. And he fell from grace with a really big thud. And for years, his name has kind of been synonymous with cheaters. It's been a very long and difficult and painful journey for Lance Armstrong. But I listened to an interview of his not too long ago, and he said the result of all of this is he's working very hard on living a life that people will see and they will be willing to forgive him. He said that this whole journey has changed the way that he reacts to criticism. And then he told this story. He said, I was in Denver. I had eaten at a restaurant. I was getting ready to get in to an Uber vehicle. And a man on a bar patio right next to where I was getting into this car recognized me and started yelling at the top of his lungs, F you. And he over and over and over, and he wouldn't stop, Armstrong said, to the point where eventually he incited everyone else on this patio to join in. He said, I was literally shaking when I got in to the Uber car. 10 years ago, I would have jumped across the rail and started throwing punches. But that day, after he got in the car, he pulled out his phone and he called the restaurant manager. He explained what was going on, and then he gave the restaurant manager his credit card number, and he said, please pay for the food and the beverages of all of those people that are on the patio. He said, that was my turn the other cheek moment. We might even say it was his version of blessing those who curse you. Love your enemies, Jesus said. It's radical. It's crazy. Why in heaven's name would we want to do that? But the thing is, love is pretty cheap these days. We love all kinds of things, don't we? We love social media. We love this team or that team. We really love this kind of clothes or that restaurant or this food or that beverage. Or you've heard me say, I love Mountain Dew and Cheetos. Please don't bring me any. I don't need them, but thank you. This isn't cheap love Jesus is talking about. This isn't the falling in love kind of love. It's not brotherly love kind of love. This is what's called agape love. This is love that we choose to give. It's love that means that no matter what someone does to us, we work hard to wish only the highest good for those people, regardless of what they do to us. It means that we will go out of our way to do good things for them and to ask blessings for them. This is what Jesus was teaching these brand new disciples who first heard, blessed are the poor, and now he's telling them, love your enemies, pray for those who hate you, do good. Really? What did I just sign up for? And how many of us have wondered the same thing? We know what it is that Jesus has asked us to do, but sometimes doing it, that's a whole nother story. If you look at the text from these last 3 weeks, there's kind of this overarching theme in the sixth chapter of Luke's gospel. If in fact we are committed to living a life in Jesus Christ, if we are indeed willing to live life the way Jesus has set out for us, then our lives should look very different from the lives of people who are simply living in the world. In fact, if we choose to follow him, to love like he loves, it may very well turn our worlds upside down and the worlds of those that we know. That's the power of this kind of love. But the thing is, we can't love our enemies. We can't bless those who curse us. We can't pray for those who abuse us or do good for those who wish us evil without him. We can't live like him unless we have him in our lives, because it's in his mercy, it's in his power, it's in his grace that we discover, that we learn how to live the life that he is asking us to live. He's asking us to live his way and not the way of the world. He's asking us to live in such a way that we can love those who maybe don't love us and do good for those who really don't have anything good for us. But if we can live like that, it pleases God to no end. If we can live and love like Jesus did, at least we give it a college try, then people look at us and they see the family resemblance to Jesus. Because when we live like that, we start to look like him. It brings him glory. I have to believe it brings a smile to his face. And when we live like that, we're showing the world that there is something radically different about those who believe in him, who love him, and who follow him. There have been times in my life that I've found myself up against someone or something that really doesn't have my best interest in heart. You all know people like that. Somebody who doesn't really love me. In fact, somebody who would just as soon see me fail. Somebody who wants to undermine, who wants to do all kinds of things. And I find myself praying this prayer. It's simple. It's short. You can use it if you want. This is what I pray. Lord, please help me to see this person the way you do. Because it completely changes perspective. It completely changes how I act toward that person, what I think about that person, and how I'm going to treat that person. It doesn't mean that we roll over and become doormats. Absolutely not. That's not what we're called to do. But it does mean that when we love with Christ's love, it is so different, the world can't help but see it. That's one of the ways people come to us and go, I don't know what it is about you, but I want what you have. That's easy evangelism right there. Every January, we celebrate the birthday of Martin Luther King, Jr. There hasn't been in recent history any kind of a social movement that has embodied the love and the grace of Jesus Christ like the civil rights movement. And oftentimes people forget the civil rights movement was not a political movement. It was a Christian movement, and it was based on the verses of today's text. It was really a call to change through the love of Jesus Christ. And ordinary men and women stood up, were willing to suffer abuse at the hands of their enemies, at lunch counters, on public transportation, in jail cells. They were willing to endure through dog attacks and water hoses and lynchings and beatings, all the while never retaliating, but instead showing love to those who were abusing, those who hated them. That's Christ-like love. And it's extremely difficult to love a Christ-like love in a world that is incredibly hostile towards us. It takes help from the Lord. And the idea of simple service, of loving unconditionally, that's not an idea that's in vogue right now. I'll just tell you. And loving our enemies isn't really in vogue right now either. All you have to do is watch the news to see how the world treats those that they hate. The world doesn't understand this kind of love. Sometimes, because they don't misunderstand, the reception that we receive is less than charitable. That doesn't give us license to run and hide someplace safe. Because if we do that, then we aren't living out the life that we were called to live and doing the things that we were called to do. If we're going to live that love, if we give to those who beg, then that means we know where to find them. If we are going to love the way that we want to be loved, that means that we also need to treat people with respect, those that we normally might not, because they too are made in the image of God. If we are going to love, a love that doesn't require payback from someone to us, that means this isn't dependent on what they can give us. It's dependent upon what we can give them. And there are people in the family of God who struggle with doing those things with people they know and love, let alone doing them out in the world. This is not easy. If we're going to have any chance at all of living a life that Jesus called us to live, we cannot do it without leaning on Him. We cannot do it unless we are 100% fully leaning on Him. This isn't a do as I say kind of life. This is Jesus saying, do as I have already done. We look at Jesus and we see not only did He love His neighbors as Himself, He loved His enemies too. Think about this. That night they were gathered in the upper room, Jesus and His disciples. They were getting ready to celebrate the Passover feast. They were gathered there. John tells us that Jesus knew that this was His last Passover. He knew who was to betray Him. And after everyone was gathered and they were seated around the table, Jesus got up from the table. He took off his outer garment, grabbed a towel and a basin, and he worked his way around the table, washing the feet of his disciples. All of them, Judas included. When he was done, he sat back down. John tells us he took bread and he dipped it in the dish and he handed it to Judas. Palestinian custom in that day says that if you take a morsel of food from the table, dip it into the common dish, and hand it to someone, that means that there's a special bond, a special friendship between you and that person. Jesus did that for Judas, who he knew would betray him later that night. It's as though Jesus said to Judas, I know what you're up to, but I offer you this gift in friendship. I offer you my heart of love. All you have to do is take it. And Judas slammed the door of opportunity shut. When we look at this teaching, today's lesson, the day that Jesus was teaching this to the disciples for the first time, he looked them square in the eye and he said, love your enemies. He said, do good for those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who abuse you. It was upside down, backwards, unconventional. Never in a million years would those men have lived their lives that way, except that Jesus invited them to do so. Four short commands, not quite terse, but almost. But here's the thing. He looks us square in the eye, and he says, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who abuse you. It's still countercultural. It's still backwards, upside down kind of thinking. And never in a million years would any of us think to live that way, except that Jesus has called us to live like that. We're not called to live as the world would have us live. We're called to live a life that reflects the love and the mercy and the grace of Jesus Christ so the world can see. A new school year is starting. New sports seasons are beginning. We have elections at the end of this month. All of those are opportunities to live our lives the way Jesus has asked us to. And that whole do unto others as you would have them do unto you, Jesus is pretty serious about that. He's the only one. That's not a new concept. But everybody else that put that concept out framed it in a negative tone. Jesus turned it around. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Here's something else you probably don't want to hear. We don't get credit for loving people that we know are going to love us back. That's easy. We don't get credit for doing good to those who have either already done good to us or for us, or we know they will. Because anybody can do that. He said sinners do those kinds of things. This is about loving those that we don't want anything to do with. This is about loving those that make us crazy. This is about loving those who treat us like crap. We don't get credit for loving those that are easy to love. Even Hitler did that. So here's my challenge for you today. I want you to imagine, think about that person in your life that really doesn't like you. Maybe even hates you. And then I want you to think about your best friend. And I want you to think about what you would do for your best friend. No strings attached. And I'd like you to write some of those things down on a list. Then I want you to do them for the person that hates you. It's backwards. It's countercultural. Nobody in their right mind does stuff like that. Do it anyway. I want you to think about somebody who perhaps has heaped some kind of abuse on you. And pray long and hard and ask God to help you find a way to bless that person or those persons. I want you to praise God, to pray. I will tell you from personal experience, as will others, that it's just darn near impossible to hate somebody that you're praying for. Try it. Let me know how it goes. We're not called to live eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth. We're called to live extraordinary, Christ-infused love. Love that will run out all over those that we encounter. Because when we love like that, it gives people a chance to see the love and the mercy of our Lord and Savior. Who do we love? Our enemies. How much? Way more than we would if it was left up to us. But in the mercy and love of Jesus Christ that you and I know, in Him, all things are possible. Amen.